I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. You might know Linda Greenlaw as the female swordfish boat captain from The Perfect Storm, the movie based on the book by Sebastian Younger. Or maybe you know her from the Discovery Channel show called Swords, Life on the Line. Or you might have read one of the books she's written. Well, now Greenlaw is out with a new book. It's called Seaworthy, A Swordboat Captain Returns to the Sea. About a decade ago, Greenlaw decided to retire from the long months at sea, the harsh conditions, the grueling work. And in retirement, she lived the dream, a house on an island in Penobscot Bay off the coast of Maine, downtime with her family, splitting her time between lobstering and writing. But something just wasn't right. So when a friend offered Greenlaw the chance to captain a swordboat again, she dusted off her gear and set out for the Atlantic. After all, Greenlaw says, her new land-based identity had never really took.
I was still introducing myself as a swordboat captain, although it had been 10 years since I caught my last swordfish, so it was a little bit crazy. I got opportunities. People would call and say, hey, you know, there's a boat here, there's a boat there, can you take it? But every time I got a call, I couldn't go. I either had 800 lobster traps in the water that I couldn't just abandon, or I was, you know, in the middle of a 60-city book tour promoting a new book. I couldn't call the publicist and say, hey, you know, see you later, I'm going sword fishing. So the more that time marched on, the more I realized it was just becoming more and more unlikely that I'd ever get back to what I was still professing as my first love.
So what you had been doing in the 10 years after The Perfect Storm and now was basically doing lobstering, is that right?
Yes, I was lobster fishing around my home and writing books. And the two seemed to go very well hand in hand because lobstering, you're so self-employed and it's a day fishery, as most people are aware. You know, you're not at sea for 30 days at a time. You're home every night. So I could get up in the morning and write first thing. And then when I couldn't take the writing anymore, which is about 3 or 4 hours into it, I could throw the pen down and say, yeah, you know, I'm going to go haul my lobster traps. So although I was hauling traps, I was thinking about what I'd be writing the next day, and it sort of kept the writing fresh. And, you know, I was able to kind of exercise a little bit what I loved to do, which was being on the water while supporting myself with the writing.
You ended up doing, what, 3 nonfiction books, a cookbook, 2 mysteries. Was this all in the past 10 years?
Yes, it's all been in the last 10 years. The opportunity to write my first book came to me because of the very generous portrayal of Linda Greenlaw in The Perfect Storm by Sebastian Younger. I mean, I fished for many, many years before The Perfect Storm, whether event or book, and nobody seemed to really care until the book was published. And then, yeah, I started getting a lot of attention.
Do you describe that as a generous portrayal because you don't see yourself as quite as heroic and legendary as the author made you out to be in that book?
Yeah, I certainly didn't consider myself very heroic or legendary. I used to carry the book around with me on my book tour. I guess there's a way of justifying my existence on book tour. I'd like, listen to what this guy said about me. You know, it's a pretty tough image to live up to. And somebody says, in a book that becomes a national bestseller and then, you know, a mega blockbuster movie, that you're the best captain, period, on the entire East Coast. And year after year, trip after trip, you catch more fish than anyone. And when you land swordfish in Gloucester, Massachusetts, swordfish prices plummet halfway around the world. That's a tough one.
I mean, how would you have described yourself if not that way?
Well, I think I was a bit more humble. I was working very hard at something that I really loved doing. And fortunately for me, when Sebastian Younger was researching his book, I was at the top of my game. I was doing really well, and it's sort of every dog has its day. I certainly didn't start off as the best captain on the entire East Coast or anywhere else. I mean, it was quite a learning curve.
In your new book, Linda, called Seaworthy, you talk about how, as you prepared to go back out on the water sword fishing 10 years after you had last been out, you were a different woman. You were more middle-aged. You were approaching 50. Is that right? You were 15 pounds lighter, which I imagine most women would be very pleased with, but you say that's because you had lost so much muscle over the last decade. So you weren't in the same tip-top physical condition to do this very physical job.
No, a lot of things had changed. I mean, a lot changes in the course of 10 years for sure, not just physically, but psychologically, emotionally. I got very nervous after I said, yes, you know, I'll take this boat. And, you know, the bottom line was I was very concerned about my own seaworthiness. Do I still have the ability to navigate a storm? Can I still lead a crew of men? Can you still put fish on the deck? But most of all, I was concerned about how I had changed, you know, the maturity level and what I came to learn after my first season back on the water after being absent for 10 years was what you gain with maturity does compensate for what fades with youth.
You also write in your book that you worried about going back not only because of your seaworthiness and maybe the seaworthiness of your boat and your crew, but you wondered whether you'd find you didn't like it as much. And if that were the case, then your whole identity might suddenly feel up in the air. Did that end up being the case?
It did not end up being the case, but it was a great fear. I'd spent all these years saying that my first love and only love was sword fishing. And, so passionate about going to sea and passionate about catching fish. I like the way I feel when I'm sword fishing. To go back to it and sort of be disillusioned would have been an identity crisis.
Given that, as you said, you had concerns about your seaworthiness, you had family responsibilities at home, why did you decide to go back out, given that there were so many reasons not to go?
I think that's the way I've been all my life. Almost any time you throw the lines off the dock, there are more reasons to stay than there are to go. And, you have to have the ability to throw the lines or, you never have any adventure at all.
Can you think of any experience you had when you went back on the boat that reminded you either how much you loved it or how really dangerous this job could be?
It didn't take long stepping aboard the boat after being gone for 10 years to remember exactly what I loved about it and exactly what I hated about it. The very first storm that came up, they were getting bounced around and pounded and, the weather's unfishable and everybody's miserable. A couple of the guys are seasick. Yeah, that's like riding a bike. Those memories come back very quickly.
Right, and those aren't the good memories.
And those aren't the good memories. But by the same token, the first night that's very clear and the sky is full of stars, you turn the deck lights off and you go out on the bow of the boat and just look up and you're absolutely awestruck. It's just like the very first time I saw that. And seeing whales every day. Not a day goes by. You could be at sea for a year. And every time you see a whale, you're nudging the guy next to you and saying, look, a humpback or a finback or a minke. And everyone gets excited about it. You just, you're always in awe of these things that you see. And you just never get jaded.
Swordfish fishing has become the subject of its own series, the Discovery Channel series Swords. What is it about sword fishing in particular that makes people hone in on it and think it creates entertainment and adventure? Why this as opposed to another kind of fishing?
Well, I've been involved in many different fisheries through the course of my career, and sword fishing is absolutely the most exciting and the biggest adventure. We're traveling 1,000 miles from the dock chasing a fish. You're catching fish one at a time. It's very primitive. You're catching them with hooks. There's nothing very sophisticated about it. The fish are alive when we catch them most of the time. It's a big fish. They're strong fighters. They're the coolest creatures because, they're a fish with a sword. They're kind of like a unicorn, but it's real.
You even write in the book that it's hard to avoid attributing human characteristics to them, like to feel that they're experiencing defeat or triumph. Did you find yourself feeling that this is more than just a creature?
Yeah, I think we all do that. It's almost impossible not to. It's something you do long enough, you like to sort of humanize every emotion and everything around you.
There's a scene in the book where you describe a battle between a shark and a swordfish. Could you just paraphrase that story for us? Describe what you saw when you saw this a shark and a swordfish in battle.
Well, it was way back and very early in my swordfishing career when we were longlining, which is fishing with hooks, and also harpooning. And harpooning, I'm sure, is what I actually fell in love with when I was 19 years old. It's a very exciting fishery. I was up in the crow's nest, up in the very top of the mast, steering the boat and looking for a single fish. So it's just a big hunt. And I saw some commotion and steered the boat, over towards it. And the captain ran out into the stand, and grabbed the harpoon ready to go. And what we were seeing were a swordfish and a mako shark fighting.
You describe the scene where it wheeled around and actually used its sword to lacerate the shark.
Yeah, well, the swordfish, has that bill for a reason, and it is a weapon. I think one of a swordfish's probably only enemies would be a mako shark. Most of the time when you're swordfishing, the mako shark will win a battle because the swordfish is usually on a hook when the mako shark will go after it, which puts the swordfish at quite a disadvantage. But this was a free-swimming fish and a free-swimming shark. And, the swordfish got away. And we harpooned the mako shark and got it aboard the boat. So, the swordfish definitely won the battle.
You know, Linda, when we first tried to see if we could get you on the show to talk about your book, I think we had reached out to your publicist or your agent back in maybe August, late summer. And the answer we got was that you were out on the ocean, you were unreachable, try back in a few months, maybe December. Now, that is a tough life. I wonder, how do you keep your land life solid and stable when a big part of your life is being out on the boat so much?
You just get used to having your life sort of always in turmoil. I mean, I leave for 3 months, I come home, everything's screwed up, you know. Fortunately, the girl that I'm a legal guardian of is a freshman in college this year. Negligent me, I wasn't the one to take her off to school because I was fishing, but my younger sister took her, and I got, you know, a few little reports that she was doing well in school, and I got to go visit, you know, when I get in from fishing 3 months later, and everything's good.
So now that you've come out of retirement, you've gone on the water, you're back from the water, are you glad you did it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm thrilled that I did it. 3 years ago, I stepped back aboard the boat, and I went again last year, and I went again this year, and I hope to go again next year. I'm not quite done yet.
Do you think there's another book in it?
Oh, I absolutely am done writing about sword fishing. I really, you know, I love Seaworthy, and I love The Hungry Ocean. Right. Seaworthy is the new book. And my very first book that I wrote was about sword fishing, which is The Hungry Ocean. And it was good because I think the two books are totally different because I'm totally a different author or person, and the experience was totally different. But there's not a third sword fishing book in me. There's only so many ways to describe, you know, weather at sea or a sunset or the starry night or the thrill of catching a fish or, you know, the agony of defeat when the fish gets away. Done.
Linda Greenlaw, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
Linda Greenlaw is a swordfish boat captain and the author of several books. Her latest is Seaworthy, A Sword Boat Captain Returns to the Sea.